Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to be here tonight, and I'm thankful to be here and to be okay. You know, I got my bell rung a little bit today. I was out working in the yard, picking up leaves, putting them in a trash can, and at one point I slipped on the lid of that trash can, and I fell face first and hit that trash can pretty hard, so my face got cut up and scraped up pretty quite a bit, so that's why I have this big Band-Aid on my face here tonight. But thank God I'm all right. You know, things like that happen and you realize it could have been a lot worse. So praise God. We are going to worship the Lord for a while here tonight, as we always do on Wednesday nights. It's such a privilege to do so, and we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, thanking thee, O God, for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for bringing us here. And I pray, O God, that thou would be with us. I pray, O God, that thou would help us. I pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We pray, O God, that thou would be with us in each and everything that we do here this night. We pray that thy perfect will would be done. Lead, guide, and direct us in all things. And I ask, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service. I ask that thou would bless this entire service. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful.
Praise
God. So it's always good to hear those praise reports. You know, God does heal and he can do all things. So praise the Lord for that. Well, we are going to open our chorus books here tonight. And we're going to start with number 13 and sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Number 13, Have Thine Own Way. I am Tonight, and we need to let go and let God have his way. Let's turn to number 25. Let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God have his wonderful way.
Let go and let God.
You know, sometimes when you're worshiping God, you don't know when to stop exactly. Praise God. And that's wonderful. You know, I can't think of a better way to spend time. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be doing that for all eternity. So praise God. I hope you like worshiping Him, because we're going to be doing a lot of it. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to number 47 and sing, "Lord, Make Me What I Ought to Be." Number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. That we're kind of hitting on a theme here tonight. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And we're going to keep that going by turning to number 91 and singing without Him, because we truly would be helpless without the Lord. Number 91.
Without Him, I could do nothing.
Abide with me as I
praise God. You know, I can't help but think of all the people out there who don't know the Lord and have to wonder sometimes, what are they living for? And perhaps they're not living for anything. I can't think of a more hollow existence. And I'm so glad that we do know the Lord, and I am so thankful that He gives us something to live for. Let's turn to number 98 and sing Because He Lives, number 98. Our Savior is alive forevermore. Praise the Lord. And it's such a wonderful thing that we can know our Savior on a personal level, and we can cry out to Him, we can pray to Him, and we know that He is an answering God. He doesn't just hear our prayers, He answers our prayers. So let's look at number 95 right now and sing Hallelujah. He's an answering God.
Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I praise Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah. Thank you.
your name, Jesus.
Well, we are going to take up the subject now. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. I pray, O God, that thou would help us to know how to use these funds for thy glory, for thy purpose. Give us thy great wisdom and lead us in these uncertain days ahead. We know, O God, that things can be very uncertain in this life, but we know that thou art ultimately in control. We know that thou can do all things, and I pray that thou would lead us by thy mighty hand. Give us the direction we so desperately need, and I pray that thou would sustain us for as many years as is necessary to reach people for thy kindness. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night. And I pray that thou would also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we get started in the Word, and I just feel like singing number 128. I know we sing it a lot, but such a wonderful chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, number 128. For his promises. I'm thankful for the knowledge that he is right here with us tonight. Praise God, his presence is here. And if you just but open your eyes of faith, you can see him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Diane, I was really glad to hear that good report with your eyes. You know, it's amazing what the Lord could do. And I had a message from my friend Judy in Texas, and she had been fighting cancer, and we've been praying, and others have been praying, and she changed her diet majorly, and striving in every way to get better, and she just had blood work done again, and this time, leave originally that score that indicated the cancer was like 2,400 or something quite up there. And the last time she was tested, it was like 168, which is a miracle. And now she just got tested again, and this time it's in the 50s. And normal is 35 or so, so she's very, very close to that point where they're going to say she, you know, is all gone completely. And we just know that that's the Lord that's helped her. And you know, He did it for Judy. He did it for all of us, too. And you know, sometimes the healings come instantly. And you know, that's exciting when the Lord, you know, completely does something just like that, you know. But sometimes it's His way of teaching us, I think, to trust Him and to show faith. And sometimes it's more of a gradual progression. But still, both ways, it's beautiful because you know it's the Lord, and you know the glory goes to Him, and you know He teaches us through all these things in our lives. You know, it's little by little He's getting us to that place where we can fully put our faith and trust in Him, and you know, be led so that one day we can see Him face to face. Praise the Lord. So you know, He's good to us. Oh yes, he's showing us, He's leading us, and we're going to be talking about the path of the just here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord, the ways that He leads us, the things that He shows us. Oh, when it's in our hearts. I know it's not the way of normalcy, but you know, oh, praise the Lord, God has called us to be His own peculiar treasure, His own people that reflect His ways, and praise the Lord for that. You know, except that the Lord had somehow come to us and shown Himself to us, we'd be just like everybody else out there, just floundering around and not knowing what to do or how to think and following maybe some other leader or some religion or some philosophy, a man. But, you know, the Lord has called us, and we find the way in His Word, in this Holy King James Bible that God has preserved and given to us for these moments. Oh, praise the Lord. And this word, which is forever settled in heaven, it leads, it guides, it shows us the things that we need to see. It's instructions that we so desperately need. You know, and so often people shun it, and you know, it sits on the shelf maybe and collects dust through the years, or you know, gets taken out maybe for only a special occasion, or otherwise these days, well, there's so many perversions of God's Word, so many mistranslations and all that sort of thing that are very commonly even opened up in the pulpits. And here we are tonight, we've got the Word of God, He's preserved it. And praise the Lord, it shows us the way that we are to walk in. Praise the Lord, the path of the just. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin this here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, we know that truly we could do nothing without You, Lord. And oh, God, we know that we need Your ways, God. We need to be shown the things that You would have us to see, Lord. We thank You for this word that You put within us, Lord, this word that's in our heart. Oh, God, this word that we can open up here tonight, Lord. And oh, God, I pray that You'd show us the things that we need to see, God. Oh, God, that You'd help us, that You'd get us ready, Lord, that we can stand before You, Lord, without sin, without blemish, without spot. Oh, God, I pray that You'd help us here tonight, Lord, and that You'd talk to our hearts, that You'd encourage us, that You'd put faith within Your people, Lord. Oh, God, faith to stand, Lord, faith to resist the devil, Lord, faith to go forward, and oh, God, to fight that good fight of faith. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, that You'd wake us up, that You'd show us the things that we need to see, and that You'd help us here tonight. Oh God, we could do nothing without you indeed, Lord. We pray that you'd be here, Lord, that you'd anoint and use this word, Lord, for your name's sake, for your glory, for your people, Lord. Oh God, that, oh God, you would move tonight. Oh Lord, that you take some out of the fire, Lord Jesus. Oh God, and oh God, that you'd show us all that path that you've got for us to walk on, Lord, that straight and narrow way, Lord, that you've got for your people. Oh Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're going to be opening up to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, and using that quite strongly, I feel, tonight. But maybe before we fully get into Jeremiah 10, let's go to Proverbs and read a couple short verses here. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Praise the Lord. Well, these are common verses here, but oh, how we need to apply them. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And again, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, things that are common to mankind, but, you know, most everybody, or so many people anyway, there's a few that would, you know, say that they're not ready to meet the Lord, but so often people seem to think that their way is right, their religion is right, you know, their family's traditions are right, you know, and their standards are right. But, you know, the thing is, does it match the Word of God? Is it the same as what God requires? Because, you know, in the long end, it doesn't matter what we think. It's what God thinks. And we could be completely wrong. We could be off the track. We could, you know, have some definite misconceptions. But I thank God again for His Word, because, oh, how lost we would be without it. But so many people think that they're on the right way. And, you know, you can ask a lot of people, you know, if, you know, they know God and all that sort of thing. And often, you know, people will say they do. But I do thank God for an honest heart that will admit, yes, I need help. I'm in confusion. I'm stumbling. I know bits and pieces perhaps, but, you know, I don't really know the way. I'm not really on the way, or maybe I've heard it and I'm just not doing it. Oh, I thank God for that person who has that integrity in their heart that would confess that and admit it, oh, so that it can be corrected. But so often people are going in their own direction, in their own way, and thinking it's fine. But tells us again here in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, that's a scary thought, actually, you know, to think that you're doing well and you're actually doing rotten. You know, oh boy, that's being deceived, isn't it? And oh, I just thank God again for this word. And you know, I know years ago there were certain things that we held dear. You know, we used to be in Schofield. You know, I mean, we used to think that, you know, there's going to be a rapture that would, you know, take people out of the world before the end was over and all that sort of thing. We used to believe in a millennium and all that, all those concepts too. And thank the Lord that somehow, and I think it's amazing that He got our attention, and, you know, and helped us to see what the Bible really says. I thank God. I just thank God. I know that's a miracle, actually, you know, that He would open up our eyes and our understanding, give us ears to hear. It's a miracle. Thank the Lord. And that's the greatest thing, if we could just see what is right, and if we can perceive what is right, if we can be on the right track, and you know, not following some false religion, some guru, or some, you know, other kind of thing. Oh, there's all kinds of things out there. Philosophies of men, left and right, you know. Oh, it's all over the place. But thank God for His Word. Oh, praise the Lord, it's on the solid rock, you know. I mean, honestly, you know, people's opinions change.
So what's right one day could be wrong tomorrow. What's wrong today could be right tomorrow by their standards. But God's word does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. He's God, and he changes not. Praise the Lord. So therefore, he is the solid rock. And we can stand on his promises. We can rest in them. We can know what he says he will do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Jeremiah 10 now. And I'm planning to do the whole chapter, actually, with the Lord's help here tonight. But I want to just read verse 23 as a point of emphasis here. It says, O Lord, and this is Jeremiah speaking, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his step. And see, now there's basic understanding. So many people think they can do it on their own. You know, that you know they have enough intellect or ability or common sense to, you know, do it on their own. But Jeremiah is saying, Lord, I know. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I think that's a profound understanding. And then he said, Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And I know what he's speaking of there, because, oh yes, we need to be corrected when we're wrong. But we don't want it to end up being at that time of God's judgment when we stand before him and it's in his wrath, when there's nothing that we can do to change our ways and it's too late to repent. We don't ever want to, you know, get to that place. Oh, we want to listen now while we still have day, while we still have opportunity, while the door of salvation is still opened. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here we are. We're going to go to the first verse here in Jeremiah 10. It says, Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. And here the prophet is speaking with the unction of the Holy Ghost here, speaking through him. And it says in verse 2, Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And I'm just going to pause here a minute. You know, it says a very basic thing here that I think we understand, I hope, but many people don't get it. It says not to learn the ways of the heathen. Learn not the ways of the heathen. And, you know, in the day that we live in, I think so many people take heathen practices, and they're all over the place. It encompasses a whole bunch of things, and they think they can Christianize it. And, you know, just putting, you know, a Christian name on it, well, that's initially, you know, when the Catholic priests came to Mexico in the days of old, and, you know, they were there to convert the Aztecs to Christianity and so they, or what their kind of Christianity was, and you know, it wasn't a good way at all. It was under the sword, and of course these individuals didn't even know the Lord to start with, but you know, they basically said, either, you know, become Catholic or, you know, we're gonna kill you. And then, you know, they took deities, and this was common practice, that when the Catholic religion would have converts, that they would just, you know, take the deities that were well known among the people already in the lands that they were going to and had come to, and just change the names to make themselves Christian. Now I'll tell you, that doesn't do any good at all. You know, just to give something a different name does not change anything. But that's kind of the way it's been, that, you know, it's been thought that you could make something that's strictly heathen Christian by just, you know, twisting around a little bit and, you know, putting a little dressing on it, or, you know, changing the name, or, you know, adding some kind of thing that sounds like it's biblical or something to it. And I'll tell you what, that just doesn't work. And here, a very basic concept is given by the Lord: learn not the way of the heathen. That's just it, period. Let their ways alone. Don't go there. And it says, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And, you know, I think it's indicating astrology, basically, because, you know, astrologers look at the signs, you know, of the zodiac and everything else, and, you know, they try to interpret it, and, you know, they've got their charts, and they've got the horoscopes that they put up, and, you know, they try to, you know, determine, you know, what's going to happen on a certain day. Or, you know, you were born under a certain sign, so you have these characteristics. Oh, I'm so glad we don't have to live like that. Oh, I praise the Lord, you know? Oh, that's heathenism. And thank the Lord, God comes into our life and we're not under any of those aspects at all. For he makes us new creatures in Christ. Oh, yes, we're not under some kind of, you know, set thing because we were born on a certain day. Thank the Lord. It's not like that at all. We're in the hands of God, and he ordains our steps so that we can walk in them. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So it's telling us here not to learn those ways and not to be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Yeah, you know, oh, sorry, I can't go to the store today because I read my horoscope and it tells me, well, I would have a car accident, or there'd be some kind of trouble, or I'd fall down, or, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, there's credence to it if people will believe it. Oh, yes, there's a lot of devils out there that would try to, like, you know, make those reactions happen. In fact, I know David Meyer, when he was an astrologer, he was amazed because, you know, for a while he was consulting his charts to give predictions. This is when he was a young man before he knew the Lord. And, you know, they would come to pass. And then he suddenly found himself saying things without looking at the charts. And they were coming to pass. And, you know, what is this? And it began to scare him. And, you know, he eventually realized that there were devils out there that, you know, oh, they like their false prophets. Oh, they like those astrologers, and they're going to try everything they can under their power to make those things happen. But praise the Lord, we serve a God who is over all. We can bind and break all those things that would be over us, and you know, and believe me, we don't want to indulge in any of this at all. In fact, just a minute, I'm coming right back, Lord willing, to this 10th chapter of Jeremiah, but looking here at Isaiah 47 for just a minute, just to get these couple verses here. And I think these verses are very telling because these verses were also the ones that were given to David when he was just a new Christian in the Lord. And he'd repented and he'd been baptized in Jesus' name, and he didn't realize yet why he hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. And he had gone to a bookstore in Appleton, actually, and bought himself a new Bible, a little Bible, a small Bible that he could put in his pocket and carry around. And, you know, there was a marker right in this chapter, Isaiah 47. And when he opened it, these are the verses he saw. It says in verse 13, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before it." Oh, praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, those verses are very clear. I'll tell you what, you know, David, when he read those verses, he looked up on his shelf and there he had all his astrological charts and everything else and all that equipment and everything else that he was using, and he realized that it had to go. that it had to go, and praise the Lord, he got rid of it. Well, I know the devil tempted him and tried to make him retrieve it again, but no, he let it go. And praise the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord when he was obedient. But I'll tell you what, that thing, it's all vanity. Astrology, stargazing, prognostication, all those things. It's vanity. Looking into a crystal ball and trying to determine, you know, or looking on the, you know, the veins in somebody's hands or the bumps on somebody's head or whatever all, or, you know, even as the Babylonians did, they would look into the liver of an animal, they'd kill an animal and look into the liver to try to make projections and try to consult it to see if they should go ahead or, you know, just stop right there. Oh, that's all vanity. That's all heathenism. Oh, that's all forbidden in the scripture. Absolutely. And so here we are told, learn not the way of the heathen, back here in Jeremiah 10. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And then it says in verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain. For what cutteth a tree out of the forest? The work of the hands of the workman with an axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. And praise the Lord, you know, it's really something. It says here, the customs of the people are vain. Oh, I'll tell you what, how many things, how many customs do people hold in their fist and you know, hold so tight that no matter if you come against them completely, the Word of God proves it, they just can't seem to open up their fist to let go of those vain traditions. Well, I'll tell you what, I was working with a young woman just a short time ago, and it so happened it was around Halloween time, and she had called. It was midnight one night, and I didn't call, but I noticed later it was her. And so the next day I called her back, and she asked if I could meet with her here. And the next day, well, it was Monday then, that day. And so made arrangements to do so. And it just happened that this young woman was being tormented with devils. And it just come upon her, you know. And she didn't know what to do, really. And I'll tell you what, I took her over to the office. And you know, I was trying to figure out, I've not been in her house, her apartment, and I didn't know her that well, and you know, I had a lot of questions from her background and everything else, and trying to figure out what, you know, she's holding on to, what, you know, because I'd worked with her before, and I'd prayed with her, and she was back there at the back pew one Wednesday night, I believe, and prayed with her at length, and all that sort of thing, but you know, then didn't see her for a while, and, you know, off and on sort of thing. But anyway, so I was trying to figure it out, you know, just what was going on, because she was being tormented. She hadn't been able to sleep for the last few nights, and she hadn't been able to eat, and vomiting, and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, she didn't, you know, seem to think, you know, it was around Halloween time. She denied that she had any Halloween stuff in her house or had taken part in any of that. And, you know, other things that I, you know, brought up, she denied, you know, at that point. So, okay, well, I said, I'm going to pray then. I'm going to start praying. And I believe I just started saying in the name of Jesus, and she started manifesting hugely. I'll tell you what, and this went on for a while. I was praying and rebuking and, you know, she was manifesting, and then finally she vomited. And I tell you what, it was quite something. And you know, still, you know, I said, well, you know, we went through some scriptures and had a little more time and all this and that, and said we'd meet the next day. But before we left out, she confessed that she was, you know, trying to expel those devils, but she's using this object, this cross that her grandmother had given her. And, you know, when I heard that, I said, no, you know, you can't use an object to get rid of devils. It's got to be through the blood of Jesus Christ and the authority of his name. And, you know, but, you know, I could tell that kind of bothered her, you know, because the cross, and she, it came out, you know, later that her grandmother had given it to her and told her if she's ever in trouble to use that cross. And I'll tell you what, well, there was a big clue right there. That was definitely one of the things that was wrong. And then, you know, it didn't end up that she showed up on Tuesday, the next day, and then Wednesday she called and she consulted with her mother and some aunts and had been reading a bunch of stuff and felt like she was delivered and this and that. But I wasn't any too sure, you know, and all this and that. And then I found out that one of her aunts was a witch doctor in Africa, you know, and I'll tell you what, that's the state. So many people are so mixed up, but, you know, she was holding on to that cross, and I told her some other things, and I don't think she liked it. We even talked about the need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and, you know, at first she said, oh, I've been baptized already, and, you know, I know she was talking to her mother and her aunts and, you know, whoever all, and wow. Tell you what, I talked to her the next day too, and you know we were gonna meet again on Saturday, but it never happened. But I feel very strongly that this young woman was hanging on to an object. She was hanging on to that cross because her grandmother had given it to her. Her grandmother was an evangelist, you know, and how could grandmother be wrong, you know, and how could this thing be so hurtful? And besides, I was already baptized. Why would I need to be baptized again? You know, all those traditions, all those customs of the people, of things that people cling to. And, oh, we know how it is. Here we are. It's the time of year when we've got another very common tradition coming upon us. And here it's described. How one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with axe. They take that tree and they deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, and it moved not. How many people go up there, you know? They might have a wooded area that they can go search for a tree, or go to a place where they sell such things and, you know, go buy, you know, the tree that looks the most perfect to them, and you know, bring it home, and you know, after it's cut down, and you know, you have to fasten it somehow, you know, get some kind of stand or something, so it, you know, because you know, you don't want it to move, do you? But anyway, so yeah, this tradition, you know, and then deck it. Here it says with silver and with gold. Well, you know, tinsel might be silver, and you know, all kinds of ornaments and pretty things, and probably put a star on the top of it, and oh my. Oh, I'll tell you what, things don't change too much, do they? Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, it's interesting. I did decide to look in World Book Encyclopedia today, and you know, it admitted that they thought that probably the first occurrence of a Christmas celebration was in 336 A.D., and you know, that would probably be about the time of Constantine, and when his influence and all this and that, and then, you know, they said it would have been influenced by pagan customs, such as we know, you know, and you know, some of it was based on Roman tradition, you know, their year-end celebration where they would honor Saturn as their harvest god, and also Mithras, who was a god of light, and you know, they would bring objects, you know, into the home, or gifts to you know, share with other people, and they would have festivities, and you know, special food and events, and you know, decorating with greenery, and all those sorts of things way back then, singing and gift giving and all of that, and other people too in Northern Europe too had such traditions and held festivals in the mid-December time to celebrate the end of the harvest season and everything else. but their customs that were pagan. And you know, even even that tree, or that too became, you know, was it derived from German culture, and you know, it really wasn't so familiar in the early days here in America, but I guess by 1850 or so, enough Germans, I suppose, had located over here to, you know, bring about their custom, and it caught on. It caught on and became popular, a thing to do, a custom of the people, something that they could hold to, they thought. But all this scripture says those customs are vain. And even that word Christmas, oh yes, it was admitted even in the encyclopedia that it, you know, was an old English phrase that came from Christi's Massus. It means Mass of Christ. I'll tell you what is a Mass? It's a reactment of the death of Jesus Christ. It's a death. And so you put those two words together, you've got Christ and Mass. Doesn't sound like a good thing to me, I'll tell you what. No, we serve a resurrected Christ. Amen, and he is alive forevermore. And we don't want to put him to death again. We don't want to crucify him afresh. But people know not what they serve, you know, who they serve and what their traditions mean and in the past. And, you know, you could take everything from that Christmas celebration and pretty much say it's all pagan traditions that have all been sort of Christianized in the eyes of people. But that doesn't do it, does it? Oh, it still is vain. It's still folly. It's still as pagan as it ever was. And here in this chapter, it's forbidden. It's forbidden. Praise the Lord. All these things, they are upright as a palm tree, yes. Try to find a nice straight one to put there inside your house, a nice straight Christmas tree. Oh, yes, but they speak not. They must be born. Oh, yeah, you go gather them from wherever and bear them into the house or wherever you're going to put it because they cannot go. We're told in verse 5 here in Jeremiah 10, be not afraid of them. For they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. And of course, you know, people give certain powers to their deities, to the things that they worship. And it explains in verse 6 here, it says, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. Oh, I tell you what, men give powers to the great ones in esteem, but you know, there is none that we should fear in respect but God. That's where it appertains. The fear appertains to God Almighty, the great and the wonderful one. And planning to come back here, but just going just for a moment to Psalms here. You could go to the 115th Psalm. So I want to write down a couple things in this Psalm. Psalms 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Oh, yes, there is none other to give glory to but God, for his mercy and for thy truth's sake. Then verse 2 says, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? See, our God is invisible. But people like something that's tangible, something that they can see, something, you know, to venerate, you know, that's visible. And so even back in the times of the Psalms, it's asked here, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? See, I mean, you know, the heathens, they all have visible gods, you know, statues. and statues and you know, all kinds of other things, you know, that the esteem, or maybe, you know, it's the sun or the moon or whatever, all that they worship. So, you know, you can point to that sun, you know, and venerate it, or, you know, that statue of some saint or Mary or Buddha or whatever, all, you know, and bow down to it. But that's heathenism. It says, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Well, yeah, our God is in heaven, it tells us. Yes, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Praise the Lord. He's an invisible God to our eyes. But oh, praise the Lord to his people. He is so real. He is so wonderful. Oh, he is truth. Oh, yes, he is mercy. Oh, he is a God of all gods and a King of all kings. But the heathen have gods that they could see, and it says their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Oh yes, they have to, you know, they have to build them, they have to craft them out of wood or metal or even some other precious stone. And so they are the work of men's hands, and they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Oh, and then verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Oh, you're as good as your God. But praise the Lord, it tells us here, oh, Israel. O people of God, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh yes, the one that we turn to in our need. The one that we turn to day by day. Oh, the one that we seek in the morning and ask him to direct our steps. Our God, yes, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their trust and their shield. O ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is real. Our God is genuine. And we want to give all the glory to him. Oh, yes. In spite of what the heathen may think or say or do. Oh, our God is in the heavens. And he has done whatsoever he hath pleased. Oh, praise the Lord. He's in charge. In spite of willful, disobedient men and women, God is in charge. So back here in Jeremiah 10. It says in verse 7 again. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, or pertaineth. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. Oh, they might come up with, you know, their most outstanding features when they make their gods. But oh, there is none like our God. There is none at all like, oh, the God that we serve, the creator of the universe, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And then it describes them in verse 8, those false gods. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. Oh, the people that worship him, the stock is a doctrine of vanities. Oh, you know, to worship, you know, a vain thing, you know, that's just a doctrine of something that's futile. It's foolish. It's brutish. It's ridiculous. And then it describes more. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are the work of cunning men, or men that are skilled and clever in this way, in this ability to make themselves gods. But thank God, it says in verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. And then it describes the very end scenario. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Well, I tell you what, we want our faith, our trust, our hope, oh, to be in the Lord, don't we, on that day of his wrath. Oh, when the earth's going to tremble. Oh, yes, and the heavens are going to vanish. Oh, yes, and all is going to come to nothingness. The nations, it meets the people, shall not be able to abide his indignation. Oh, you know, they've never seen God angry, have they? For the most part. Oh my, but at that point, it's going to, that cup of his wrath is going to be to the full, and all at once he's going to pour it out in judgment. And it says, they're not going to be able to abide it. They're not going to be able to withstand it. Oh, it's going to hit so hard, like nothing ever seen or heard before. And I want to be right with the Lord. Oh, yes, I want to be able to stand at his right hand in that day. Don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Then it explains more in verse 11. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. Now it speaks of the might and the ability of God. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched all the heavens by his discretion. Oh, just as he saw, you know, in his perfection, his timing, his imagination, his ways, God set it all forth and established it by his wisdom, his own discretion. It says in verse 13, when he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth a wind out of his treasures. Oh, that's our God. Oh, yes, who just spoke it forth. Said, let there be light, and there was light. Oh, yes, let the waters divide from the waters. And all at once there was a firmament in the midst of the waters. Oh, yes, and there were the waters of the earth and the atmosphere of the heavens. Oh, God speaking it with his voice. He just uttered it with his voice. And praise the Lord, it happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it is. He declares it. And it comes to pass. And what can you compare to God? It says in verse 14, every man is brutish, you know, brutish. It means, you know, animal-like or even stupid or, you know, just, oh, very pathetic in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. Founder being one that works with metal and melts it and molds it and all that sort of thing. Every founder is confounded, in other words, confused by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood. And there is no breath in them, you know? Isn't that pure vanity? Isn't that pure confusion, you know, to try to make yourself a god? Oh, there's the mighty one who created the heavens and the earth. Oh, he's the one that we want to bow our knee to. He's the one that we want to worship. But every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of the visitation, they shall perish. Oh, there is coming this time when it's all going to pass away, all this earth, the heavens. Oh, it's all going to pass away. And I'll tell you what, the second chapter of Isaiah describes that time. I'd like to go there for a little bit here. Isaiah 2. And here, boy, it describes the time of God's wrath in this scripture. I think maybe we should start with verse 5 here. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people in the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. And our soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. In other words, the people that were called to be the children of God had adopted the ways of the heathen. So that, yeah, they were replenished from the east. They were doing the way of the people of the east. And they were soothsayers or fortune tellers like the Philistines. And they pleased themselves in the children of strangers. We wouldn't happen to have those things going on in our world today, would we? People aren't accepting things from the east, are they? Eastern religions and traditions and, you know, standards and this is and that. So we don't have people that go to soothsayers, do we? Fortune tellers, looking at crystal balls, and, you know, predicting futures. Things don't change too much, do they? And then it says in verse 7, their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end to their treasures. The land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end to their chariots. Interesting scripture. It says also in verse 8, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands and that which their own fingers have made. You know, sometimes, you know, the idols in people's hearts aren't necessarily, you know, a graven image. You know, it could be other things that, people put before God. You know, it might be people of renown or people of fame, you know, basketball players perhaps, or movie stars, you know, other important people that, you know, people look to and, you know, make idol in their hearts. And sometimes, you know, it's things closer than that that, you know, are dearer to them than anything else. And it becomes an idol. But here, old Israel was having a problem because their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not. Oh, God can see them. The mean man means the average man. He boweth down. They were serving things that were forbidden completely. And they, as the people of God, should have known and had enough sense and fear for God to never go that direction. That was the one thing they were told, to never learn the ways of the heathen. And God is not pleased. Oh, to humble yourself down to an idol? Oh, that's pretty pathetic, isn't it? And God hates it. God hates idolatry. He says, therefore, forgive them not. And here comes that time, oh yes, when it's all over and all at once, the people of this world are beginning to get a glimpse of the wrath of God and realize, in spite of all the things that they've tried to do and all their philosophies and all their esteems and all their artificial intelligence and, you know, everything else that they've given glory to. Oh, it's all vanity. It's all vain. It's all nonsense. For the true God is going to come upon the face of this earth. He's going to come in judgment. He's going to come in wrath to those that have not obeyed the gospel. Tells us in verse 10 here in Isaiah 2, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Oh yes, every eye is going to see him. Oh, yes, and they're going to recognize him. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. They're going to know that the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, shall be exalted in that day. Verse 12 here, Isaiah 2, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, those that have not bent the knee to Jesus Christ. And upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, everything is high. It's going to be brought down. And upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, the Lord coming in judgment. And upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pitchers, everything that's been exalted by man, all at once is going to be put in its own place. It's going to be brought down by the might of God, by the power of God, when he comes to judge the world in holiness. It says in verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols, he shall utterly abolish. Utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Oh, that day of his judgment. And oh, trying to hide from the face of God, trying to go into the holes of the rocks, the caves of the earth, oh, to get away from God. And it says in verse 20, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. All at once, oh, the lack of worthiness of those items. Oh boy, I'll just throw them, get rid of them. Nothing to them. They're vanity. They're stupid. They're ridiculous. Oh, so all at once, that realization. Oh, those things that they made, each one for himself to worship, the gods, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye for man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Oh, that day of God's accounting. Oh, when every man's works are going to be accounted for. They're going to be, you know, declared at that moment. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's not going to be no way that you can escape at that moment. Oh, and as it tells us back here in Jeremiah 10, those works, oh, they are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of the visitation, they shall perish. And it says in verse 16, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And then, because as Jeremiah was writing, there was pending judgment at that moment. Because, I'll tell you what, old Israel had done exactly what they had been forbidden to do. They had adopted the ways of the heathen. And they were doing them, the vain customs and everything else. And they had taken on the idols that were forbidden. And so there's pending judgment coming at this moment here as Jeremiah is declaring this word. And it says in verse 17, gather up the wares out of the land, O inhabitant of a fortress. Oh, you think you're in a fortress, a place of protection? For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. And poor Jeremiah, who was true and faithful, obeyed the Lord and did his bidding. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. He knew the people had done wickedly. And, you know, God tries. He sent his prophets. He sent Jeremiah. He sent others to them to warn them, to tell them to repent, to get right. Oh, yes, to get straightened out, to abandon the ways of the heathen. But they did not listen. They did not listen. And there came a time when Nothing had worked, so God was going to allow judgment. In this case, it was that the Babylonians would come marching in to Judah. Oh yes, into Jerusalem, and all that land would be taken over. It would be spoiled. Yes, they would come and take them captives and carry them off and kill some of them, pluck out their eyes, do all kinds of horrendous things because they had trespassed, because they had taken on the ways of the heathen. And Jeremiah knew it. Oh, he tried, he warned, but they had not listened. And he cries in verse 20, for Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. Oh, the dwelling place was spoiled. Oh, the cords, the ties, they were broken. The children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. Verse 21 explains, oh boy, blind leaders of the blind, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Oh my, it sounds like a time that we're living in right now, where the pastors so often, for the most part, have become brutish. Oh yes, doing their own things, saying things that are not relevant to God's word at all, declaring another way, bringing forth customs that are forbidden by the word of God. The pastors, the shepherds of the flocks, are become brutish, stupid, beast-like, brutal, and have not sought the Lord. Oh, this is a day that we need to seek the Lord with all our heart. This is a day to call upon him while he is near. This is a time to get right and to heed the words that are written. Oh yes, and to listen while we can before that time of God's wrath is poured out and it's too late. And oh, it was, there was that time, yes, that Nebuchadnezzar marched in with his men, took them captives, many of them, and led them away. Some would never return. It wasn't pretty at all. So the people would not prosper, and their flocks would be scattered. It says, behold, the noise of the brute, the report is come in a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate, and a den of dragons. In other words, open up to the wild beasts, and just desolation following as they ravished those areas and burnt them with fire and took away captive, you know, all the desirable ones and killed others. Oh dear, it's a horrendous time. And here, again, this verse 23, Jeremiah is declaring, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out the fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. Oh, I tell you what, it's a precious thing when the Lord chastises us, if that need be. He chastens those that he loves. That's a sign of his love and his ways to us, his goodness to his people. But what's been described here are the ways of man. Oh, that tendency to follow after the ways of the heathen and to do things that are vanity and not at all according to God's ways and expectations. But praise the Lord, We know that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is no way that we want to follow after that. But if you'll turn with me to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, we can hear of a better way. Praise the Lord. We can hear of a way to walk, a path of the just. Here it describes in chapter 3 of Proverbs, it tells some very explicit words here that we need to give heed to. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Oh, I thank the Lord that, you know, under the new covenant, he puts the law in our inward parts and he writes it on our hearts so that we can know the Lord, each and every one of us. But those are things not to be forgotten, the ways that are of God, things to be treasured. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yes, you know, Jeremiah knew it was not within a man to direct his own steps. But praise the Lord, there's a procedure here. We'll trust in the Lord with all our heart. If we'll not lean upon our own understanding, if we'll acknowledge him in all our ways, it says he shall direct our paths, the way of life. He's going to show us the way of life, the path of the just. And he says, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And oh, I'll tell you what, that is wisdom. Oh, not to be wise and proud and haughty in your own eyes and according to your own understanding, but fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In other words, you know, oh, if you give, God's going to give it back to you. And he's telling us to honor the Lord with all our substance and with the first fruit of all our increase. In other words, we pay our tithe. You know, we do it as a part of obedience, but also knowing that the Lord will bless it. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, you can't outgive God. You know, I love how it says in Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto thee. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto thy bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Oh, praise the Lord, we can't outgive God. He's just going to give more and more and more. The little that we give, he blesses bountifully. And then verse 11 here in Proverbs 3. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to talk about the value of wisdom. But I want you to glance over at the 4th chapter of Proverbs here for a moment as we get ready to close this message. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you look at the 14th verse here in this 4th chapter of Proverbs, and not that the rest of it is very, very beautiful and wonderful, all about wisdom and understanding and its great depths and importance. But in verse 14, we're told here, Proverbs, the 4th chapter, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. You know, most people are on that broad way, aren't they? That, you know, the wide gate, the broad way. Jesus said, you know, broad is the gate and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. You know, we have to enter in at the straight gate. You know, there's no other recourse. There's no other way. Oh yes, and we thank God because Jesus came. He declared the ways of life, didn't he? Oh, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. So here, back here in Proverbs, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it. Oh yeah, those wicked traditions, those ways of the heathen, get rid of them, turn away from them, pass them by, avoid it. And then it talks about the other wickedness, for they sleep not, all these wicked people, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Kind of hard to imagine, you know, being so low as to, you know, always be perceiving wickedness. It says in verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Oh, it's a terrible thing when that's the condition of the heart. Well, you know, that was the condition of the world in the days of Noah. And, you know, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus Christ returns, and there's much of that in our current world. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But praise the Lord, here's the glimmer of hope. Oh, praise the Lord, those that are on the way that is right, that is true, straight and narrow, that path. It says in verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Oh, praise the Lord for God's people. Oh, yes, we may be few in number, you know. There may not be that many of us, but you know that path of the just. It's, you know, it's as the shining light. We're going up that place of the Lamb is a light. We're following after the precepts of the Lord, and it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter as we get closer and closer and closer to that place where we can be with the Lord forever and ever, that heavenly place. Oh, that path. Oh, you know, the closer you get to God, the easier it gets in some ways. Oh, the more you hate the ways of evil, and you know, avoid it and pass over it and turn from it and all of that, you know, the closer we get to God and the more we can see the lights of home. Oh yes, and it, that shining, oh, way that the Lord has provided for his people. For Jesus came into this world as a light, didn't he? He said, I am the light of the world. Oh, yes, and we praise the Lord. God's people see the light. Yes, and praise the Lord. He comes into our hearts, into our lives, to change us, to alter us, to take us away from the old ways. Oh, we were all going the other direction at one point. But praise the Lord put us on a different path. Yes. He made our feet to walk in the way of holiness, that high way of holiness, you know, that place that, you know, you just don't get on unless you make your heart right with the Lord and you can walk in his ways. So the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not in what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Oh, the way of life that we have found because we found the Lord Jesus. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Oh, yes, we've got to guard that heart, oh, so that nothing would come in that would be, oh, detrimental to our walk with the Lord. Put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips put far from me. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Oh, yes, we want to make sure that we're walking in that way of holiness. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord has given us a way to walk, a sure way, a way of holiness, a way that leads to heaven. Praise the Lord. A way of peace and a path that is as the shining light. Praise the Lord that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Oh, that day we were going to stand before the Lord. Oh, yes, when he's going to gather his elect from all four corners of the earth. Yes, and that trumpet is going to sound. And oh, yes, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord, that wonderful hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, the path of the just, praise the Lord. We don't have to learn the ways of the heathen and walk in those ways. Instead, we could go the way looking either to the right or the left and pondering the path of our feet that our ways may be established. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your ways, God. I pray that you put it deep within us. I pray that you talk to each and every heart, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you help us to consider our ways and make sure, Lord, that, oh God, we are walking in the ways that you have described and, oh God, esteemed necessary for your people. Oh God, help us, Lord. Walk in us. Talk to us. Oh, help us to be what we ought to be in you, Lord Jesus. Make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our chorus books here in closing tonight and turn to number 143 and sing, Show Me Your Ways, number 143.